I want you to fire me.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Elite POV, where Brian Alvarez can suck my dick. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Cataldo, but you can call me Philium. And yes, Brian Alvarez can suck all the dicks.
Wait, what?
Because you come after my man Dax, we come after you, you bullshit-ass wrestling journalist. Wrestling journalist, you fucking loser, weirdo.
I am out of the loop, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
For context, Brian Alvarez clips were shown on Dax Harwood's FTR with Dax this week. They showed a clip of Brian Alvarez trashing the FTR angle, FTR doesn't need to be in a storyline. No one cares about storylines. He just wants to see them have great matches. That's all they care about. Meanwhile, for the last, 2 months, all I've seen on social media is clips of fucking fuckboy over there being like, AEW sucks because they don't do storylines. And that's their problem. That's why they'll never succeed, right? They didn't have Rick Boogs playing a guitar for Shinsuke Nakamura. So how are we supposed to get invested?
Missing some
what
Rick
is
Boogs.
The storyline? Now they're giving us a storyline and he's bitching about it. And his little fucking drones are coming out and being like, oh. But other than that, I'm Phil Cataldo. Call me Philium. Welcome to the fucking sass filled show this week.
Yo, hey, yo. I had no
My
idea.
My partner in crime.
Hot. Yeah, we're off guard here. Me and Jack, you're like, what?
Ascended, bro. You about to get blocked, bro. Ain't no
Philium Alvarez.
Right? My partner in crime, both of them. We got the draw.
Partners in crime.
Yeah, partners in crime. I dropped out of school. I don't know how to fucking make things plural. Right?
What's plural?
Yeah, exactly. We have the draw, Jackie Rodriguez, who is hype AF, because once they announced that FTR match was even close to the vicinity of where she lives, she copped them tickets. So, Jackie, how are you feeling?
Well, there's such thing as a cold open to a show, but I feel like that was a red hot open. Today's episode of Elite POV.
Sometimes you gotta do what we do, you know what I mean? Eddie Kingston hugged the Young Bucks on All Access. My soul has been cleansed.
That was something. But anyway, yeah. So yes, your girl will be in Long Island, New York. I regretfully will be in Long Island, New York, because that is a place that I don't typically schlep myself out to, but
schlep.
I will be there. schlep.
Wow, we're bringing out all the words today. Schlep. Okay, schlep.
But once the FTR versus Guns match was announced, I'm like, it's close enough. There's no freaking way in hell I'm not going to be there for that match. So I will be fifth row ringside, live in person for that. So yes, the hype and the nerves will be there, but I am mostly hyped.
Listen, one of two things are going to happen. Either A, we get to see FTR win the tag belts live, get some great pictures, have some good times. Mm-hmm. Or B, the more likely.
Or B, nothing.
The more likely, as we're walking out the stadium.
As you're schlepping
out
of the stadium.
Officially launched a For the Fed podcast.
Yeah. For the Fed logo will be dropped. You just drop the logo on Twitter as soon as the match is over.
Yeah, I'm just going to, on some serious shit though, if FTR does lose, the very first thing I'm going to do is take a selfie like this.
Yeah, for the Fed.
For the Fed.
For the Fed. No, the funny thing is I'm in section 2 and the way that the vantage point is, Phil's seats are like directly facing towards me. So he's going to have
seats.
Eyes.
I'm up top.
He's going to have eyes seats. On me the whole day. You're not that far up top. Stop lying.
He's in the 300s, like way against the back wall.
So he's going to have perfect vantage point of me. If I get to rush and jump the barricade, he's going to have the perfect viewpoint for that.
Kyle, basically, my seats are so far back, I'm watching the show at the Prudential Center.
you're at Grand Slam.
Yeah, I'm at Grand
you're
Slam.
You're on the roof.
He's at Arthur Ashe.
And the other voice you hear, because I forgot to announce it.
That's all right.
We're all over the place this week.
Who cares?
We got Mr. Forbidden Door himself, Kyle Masters.
Mr. Forbidden Door, whoa.
You got to be. You'll be going to both shows.
Oh, that's true.
We got Fretz in the chat saying he may be going to Forbidden Door. That'll be crazy because Fretz is a Fed fan. So in a way, it's a Forbidden Door, right?
Yeah.
But hi, Kyle. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
We would like to wish everybody a happy Supercard of Honor weekend.
Yeah. I'm very excited for Supercard of Honor tomorrow night at the time of recording this. I'm very excited for the card itself. They have built, and we were joking off air of how this card was built, but they built one hell of a card for tomorrow night. And you're going up against, was it WrestleMania, SmackDown? What the fuck they calling that shit?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck they call it for that.
So we're going to get WrestleMania. Was it WrestleMania Raw this week?
No, I think it was just Raw. I think WrestleMania Raw is Monday.
We joked about you know, WrestleMania Money in the Bank, WrestleMania SummerSlam. They're living up to it, man. But I'm excited for Supercard of Honor. It's been an interesting week. Dynamite was interesting. We'll get into it. But some more interesting notes is that you guys talk about next week you're going to the Long Island show. Next mm-hmm. week you guys are also going to be part of the Tony Khan Has a Big Announcement show, because that's going to be one of those shows.
Ay, Dios. I hope it's like a legitimate big announcement.
Big announcement, guys. We changed that light over there from blue to red. Whoa.
Listen, for Tony Khan's sake and for his safety, for his well-being, I hope to God this man makes a UK announcement, because I think Carrie might throw hands. She is being so patient, but yeah, she cannot take no more. She has a counter on her phone.
So it's
that
funny.
She knows how many days it's been since the announcement that they haven't.
It's funny you say that, because today, Tony Khan was interview was released today from Tony Khan, and in it, mm-hmm. he was asked about the AW in London show, and this was a quote from him: "That announcement about AW in London is coming very, very soon. I don't want to say exactly when, but believe me, it'll be very, very soon." Coincidentally, this comes out in the same report that he's got a very big announcement this coming Wednesday on Dynamite. So my guess would be at least that this Wednesday on Dynamite, we're getting the London show announcement. That's my guess, right? We're getting it all announced, right? What else would it be?
Popped me in the chat. Did you see what he wrote?
Tony's now, isn't AW taking forever? I'm not interested.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean, it could be the video game too, right? We can't.
I hope not,
because we haven't had an update on that in forever, and maybe now we actually have a release date, and maybe it could be an announcement. It could be like it's going to be released on the day Double or Nothing comes out, right? Double or Nothing day, we get the video game too. So, who knows? For Carrie's sake and all the European fans that listen to our show, I hope it's the London show, but we'll see.
People got it. So we had the issue last year. We're All Out. Anybody who listened to us last year.
Oh, God.
The struggle of, what fucking venue is it at? Because we have to buy tickets, and we have to get an Airbnb. We have to kind of figure things out, because, the stadiums are, wildly far apart. So I just don't want this to happen to the UK fans, where, they have to plan what they're going to do. Or people from other countries that are going to be flying out for the UK show. I know me and Kyle joked around before about doing stuff like that, and we too broke for that now, right?
Yeah, but
keeping me here. But I want that show to be announced real bad.
Yeah, and I think it's good. There's going to be more of a leeway. I think last year there was a lot of other factors at play with the venues, because I think from what I remember, it was a toss up between where it was going to be last year, and they weren't sure if it was going to be at the Now Arena or the United Center. So mm-hmm. now I assume, we just got the Double or Nothing announcement, last month? And that's, mm-hmm. That's February and May. That's more alluded time than we had for
All Out
last year. So yeah, my guess is if they're going to announce the UK show next week, it's going to be, I think, because it's their first overseas show. It's probably going to be a really big show. It's not going to be anytime soon. It'll be end of summer into the fall time if it's going to be announced. If they're going to announce it now. At least, there's at least a time. And, AW can prepare for it. Fans can prepare for it, right? You have all that alluded time to get all your travel, your travel documents and what you need to do up until then.
Tony Khan, grow some fucking balls.
What?
All Out in London.
What is happening?
Let's do it.
All Out in
All
London.
All Out in London. Let's go fucking crazy, bro. I mean, we don't need to go back to Chicago anymore. CM Punk is fucking slowly losing his mind.
I mean, they're going there before that, though, before Punk.
I know that, but I'm just saying, like, let's take a break, okay? And let's do something crazy. Let's go to All Out in London.
You know what? It would make sense for it to be not too much into the fall, right? If weather is going to be a thing. But that's the other thing too. Everyone's assuming
it'll be freezing over there. But Hangman Page won the title in a blizzard.
Okay, right. But everyone's assuming
don't stop nothing.
But everyone's assuming right off the bat that it's going to be Craven's Cottage. We don't know what's going to be Craven's Cottage. Yeah, he owns that field over there, but that doesn't necessarily mean the first show over there is going to be at Craven's Cottage.
That's a huge show,
right? He could be looking at the O2. He could be looking at another venue that's indoors, right? So we can't necessarily automatically think Craven's Cottage, and, you know, weather might not be a factor at that point. So if they do it, you know, what if they did full gear as the UK show and it's in a stadium, at least it's, you know, it's a UK show and they can build a really big full gear. So I
just can't believe they're going to sell out Craven Cottage with no storylines. That's wild to me.
That's just like,
what's the story of them, bro?
What's the story of them going to the UK? I haven't seen anything about UK on TV at all.
Yeah, like as a casual, they can't expect me to understand.
Is Prince Charles going to be there?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on?
Is Kenny Omega facing Prince Charles? I need to know.
Is Kenny Omega facing Meghan Markle?
Yeah.
Like, is that what's happening or what? Yeah,
are we getting Meghan Markle versus DMD? Like, we need to know.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting times. Hopefully that's the announcement. If not, you'll just hear me and Jackie scream laughing on camera next week. But listen, that card next week is absolutely stacked. We got Juice Robinson versus Ricky Starks. We got Jamie Hayter versus Riho for the women's championship. We have the FTR match, as we know. It's gonna be a good week, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a really
next
really
week,
good
and
show.
They also have
the MGF segment.
Yeah,
it's MGF, like the MGF day or whatever.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fucking hilarious.
Hometown boy.
Yeah.
So, in regards, before we get into this week's AEW, I have the card pulled up on my phone. Let's talk about this Super Card of Honor card, okay?
Super. So, it is a Super
Card of Honor card. Yeah. So we have Vikingo versus Commander. Nuts. We have a Reach for the Sky ladder match with Drillistico and Roosh, The Kingdom, Lucha Brothers, Aussie Open, and Top Flight, which, holy fuck. We have a match no one cares about. The Embassy versus AR Fox, Blake Christian, and Metalik. At least it'll be fun to watch, but, like, what's the story? Who cares? Yeah.
What's the story?
Wheeler Yuta versus Shibata.
Yeah, but what's the
story? Okay, let's get fucking nuts, right? We have the match that's going to make everybody cry. Samoa Joe versus Mark Briscoe for the TV title, which we would assume Mark Briscoe is going to win, right? And then we have Claudio versus Eddie Kingston for the title. And then Tony Khan is at home, and he's like, you know what? It's WrestleMania week. Everyone's talking positively about WWE. It looks like it's going to be two decent nights of wrestling with some great matches mixed in there, right? Let's get fucking crazy, Jackie. Let's do this line real quick, and let's make a fucking announcement, all right? Let's go nuts, and let's randomly announce Tanahashi versus Daniel Garcia.
You know what? There's not enough wrestling on the show. Let's put some more wrestling on the show.
I feel like Tony Khan, like, called WrestleCon and was like, all right, what Japanese guys are there? Okay, Shibata's there. Tanahashi's there. Cool. Both of them are being booked on the show.
Tell them not to get on the plane. Tell them to get down to California. They're booked.
And it's heavily rumored that the match for the women is going to be Athena versus Yuka Sakazaki. I think I said that right. Yeah. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, yes, you got it right.
Which is going to be a fucking banger, right? So it's like, he's going nuts. Like, you know what I mean? Nate, it's okay you're late, Nate, because Tony Khan actually just booked another Japanese guy for the show as we're talking.
Okada is going to fade now.
Actually, you would imagine?
Speaking of, New Japan, some people... obviously, the Jay White was trending today, and I was curious as to why. Some people are slide up. There's a few predictions. So the reason why he was trending was, one, There's like the news of like WrestleMania has a few surprises. So obviously people are like, oh, Jay White for sure.
I hope it's not him because the crowd's not going to know who he is.
So at the same time, people are like fantasy booking and thinking he's going to come out at the end of the Ring of Honor World Championship match.
Ooh, I would love him in Ring of Honor. Holy fuck. Yeah.
So, but who knows?
Fretz, Forbidden Door is like a long way away.
Yeah, it's not until the end of June.
Yeah, I don't think it would wait that long.
No. If he shows up, it'll be either Dynamite or the Fed. I would love the Ring of Honor. That'd be really cool and a really big pop. And, it's something you could see because Tony Khan's like, you know, he's going up against WrestleMania weekend. What better way than to have Jay White show up at Supercard of Honor?
The conversation.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's something that could happen. And not necessarily mean he signs with Ring of Honor. He just shows up, right?
But do you guys think that Tony Khan is fucking crazy enough to put the belt on Eddie Kingston this weekend?
Yeah.
I want him to so bad. And like, I'm fucking here for it.
I think they're both going to lose their belts this weekend. Oh, wait, no, Shibata doesn't make sense. Wait. Never mind.
wait, you thought I thought you meant Joe was going to lose his belt.
Well, you meant the two.
Okay.
I actually forgot. I forgot who Yuta was facing, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah, Yuta's facing Shibata. I mean, Shibata can have it and then just lose it after.
Yeah, but I think for sure Eddie Kingston's getting his world championship finally, and he's going to be Ring of Honor world champion.
Oh, my God. Please.
Which is going to be great.
And shout out to tonight. I think Fretz said it earlier. Fretz are ascended. They were like, also tonight, it's a huge, while we're doing this, we have the Impact New Japan show.
Oh, that's right.
That's happening
crossover
right now.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Multiverse of something, which is, look, their car looks incredible. I can't wait to go back and watch it. It's a great weekend of wrestling. We like to poke fun, but I'm actually watching WrestleMania this year. I didn't watch last year. Some of the storylines, man. AEW just got to tell more storylines.
Did I see that correctly? And they're doing John Cena and Austin Theory is the main event night one.
So according to people, it's been announced that they're the opening match of night one. So they put them biggest on the poster, which makes no sense. But they are the opening match and the main
that
event.
That for sure warrants, but what's the story kind of thing, right? That for sure warrants that comment because obviously if you look at night one's card, the ultimate story is that should be your poster, right?
Yeah,
that's what's selling right now.
Or Charlotte and Rhea. It's going to be one of those two matches. But like I said, it's going to be a fun week of wrestling. If you're in LA, have a lot of fun. WrestleMania week's a lot of fun. It's the most fun doing WrestleCon, doing all these indie shows or other companies that come in like a Ring of Honor, like an Impact, like a GCW or like Spring Break is going on and fucking Kota Ibushi's on the card. Like, what is happening? How does Joey Janela get Kota on a fucking Spring Break card? But it is just absolute madness. And it's always a great week, WrestleMania week for wrestling.
You know what?
And if you were in the area, like we talked about earlier, I mean, it might be too late to get tickets now, but we got Dax Live Podcast, which is pretty cool.
I know this ain't a Fed show, but thinking about what I just said, I think they are going to do, you know what they're going to do? Because they're now teasing lots of surprises. Cena's going to do the job, and he's going to lose to Austin Theory. Now, that's going to be the main event of night one, but it's going to be a fucking squash.
Uh-huh.
And that's when Jay White comes out.
Yeah, but no one's going to know who he is, bro.
WrestleMania
No
weekend.
One's going to pop. I guess you get the fans, but like it's a stadium full of people. I don't think a stadium full of people are going to know who Jay White
they
is.
They did it with Cody. Cody wasn't there for
Cody's
years.
Cody.
But Cody had already been there. So
yeah, like, but like, fuck. Do you think the 80% of the casual fans knew who the hell Cody Rhodes was?
Listen, it's going to take at least 3-4 days of WrestleMania week for them to decide on the terrible name they're going to give Jay White. Okay, Whitey J is beating Austin Theory on Monday.
John Black.
100%. Black is 100% beating Austin Theory on Monday. And listen, everybody, if Austin Theory is the main event, it proves to you that you can be a sexual predator and still main event of WrestleMania.
Hey, yo.
When you got one behind the scenes.
Hey, you know
it don't matter what you do.
The boss of the company is also a sexual predator. You too can main event of WrestleMania.
Anyways.
Grooming? Get out of here.
Yeah,
but here's John Cena.
What I'm going to ask this question to you two. What, name me one match on the card you are most looking forward to the most.
At Mania?
No, no.
Or Supercard or Honor?
Fuck Mania right now.
Bro, fucking Shibata versus Yuta.
Okay.
Like, what rabbit hole do we fall
in
down?
Pure rules, too. Pure wrestling rules.
Yeah, that we're able to get this fucking match. Like, okay. What universe is this happening?
Jackie?
No, I'm basic. Give me Claudio versus Eddie Kingston. That main event's going to slap.
I'm just going to say that it's not
mine. There's going to be a lot of slaps in that main event.
So it's not mine, but the tag team championship match is going to be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because of the teams
in there.
Oh,
they're also debuting new tag titles.
Yeah, but it's also a ladder match, so like that's going to be insane. But you know, myself is going to be not ready for Vikingo and Commander to just absolutely do every single flip imaginable off anything that's standing in the ring.
Oh,
that match is going to be absolutely nuts. Like, if you guys think back to like Ricochet and Osprey.
Oh my fucking God. That's what
this match is going to be.
That's what it's going to be. They're going to go ballistic. And my thing is like, what if, because Tony Khan did a press conference for today or some shit. And he said that Will Ospreay was supposed to be on the card, but he got injured.
Phil's there. He's like, hey, Clark Malarkey, Cuckful Wrestling.
Clark Malarkey, hi. Clark Malarkey.
Cuckful Wrestling.
Cuck Pro Wrestling. Tony, why are the women only having one match still? Fuck.
Why do you like 920? What is it?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Okay, I'm sorry. This is directed to everyone that attends these media calls. Can someone, for the love of fucking God, and please for everyone on Twitter, just ask the question. Have a set of nuts and just ask what it is. I don't care if he gives us a generic answer. At least we have an answer. We need an answer as to why 920 is the preferred slot for the woman.
Somebody who doesn't care about being thrown out of the scrum, you know.
But if you ask it professionally enough, he'd have to give you. He's not going to be like,
say,
no,
hey,
get him out of here.
You know, wondering. Yeah. We've seen a lot of growth.
Is there
in
metrics?
The women's division?
Is there a certain metric you're looking at?
Fucking blow him a little bit, right? You're such a great booker. You won head booker at fucking every year. Why do the women only come out? It was 9:18 last night. We're looking at a watch. Oh, 9:18. Here comes the Taya Jade segment and the women's match. We're like, what the fuck? What is happening?
We just want to know, is there a metric? If there's a metric, sure. Cool. At least we know that that's what he's following. But right now, we have no idea why they're doing this. There's no reason given.
Clark Malarkey here, Cuck Pro Wrestling.
Cuckful Wrestling.
What e-show do you think ends at fucking 9:20 that you think these women are going to be like, wow, Real Housewives of fucking Who Gives a Shit just ended. You know what I really want to watch? 5 minutes of AEW wrestling. Let me switch over to fucking TBS. No, bro. At 9:20, whoever's watching is watching already.
Real Housewives of Who Gives a Shit.
Fuck, dude.
I would watch that. I would 100%.
And the thing is,
that.
Like, Ruby and Willow had a good match, and like the Taya Jade stuff seems really cool, and like I'm starting to get really invested in it. But it's just like comical at this point, where it's like, oh, the women are coming out. Oh, yep.
Yeah.
9:20. Here we go. Fuck, dude. So like we said, great week of wrestling ahead of us. Have fun and don't be assholes. I'll be the asshole. All right, you guys can take the weekend off. I'll take the weekend off. They won't even let us fucking interview wrestlers. You think they're gonna let us on a fucking media
Gee,
call?
Gee, I wonder why.
It'll never happen. We've done three incredible fucking interviews, but that's besides the point.
Maybe the best AEW interviews that have been out there. Just saying.
Listen.
Just saying.
That's crazy to say, but you know what's not crazy to say? The both best Ty Conti and Ty Mello fucking interviews you will ever hear. Okay. Mm-hmm. We didn't ask her about her fucking wedding. We didn't ask her about fucking what her favorite color was or fucking what's your favorite Twizzler flavor? No, bro. We talked about what people actually want to hear about. That's besides the point. Yeah. Let's talk about Dynamite.
Right? No, but wait. I have a few other tidbits here before we go. Uh-huh. This is actually interesting. So Tony Khan was asked about Stardom. He says he's very interested in working with Stardom. It's something that I've talked to New Japan about, and obviously they have the business relationship there. It's definitely something I'd be very open to. So
put them on an honor club.
That would be sweet. You know, we know we've seen some good work from the Joshis here in AEW. Mm-hmm.
You know me, biggest Joshi fan out there. You know what I'm saying?
But it's I love to see a partnership with them. Obviously, everyone really wants a certain individual to come into AEW just to have a few matches, which would be cool. I think eventually she will. I get this gut feeling that, yeah, I can hear that great theme song. this was actually, oh no, I already said this bit. Never mind. We're good. Let's move on to Dynamite.
No, but the one cool thing, Maria Kanellis Bennett was interviewed, and she said that she's working on trying to get Women's Wrestling Army on the Honor Club like streaming service, which would be really cool because, I mean, there's not a lot of people at her shows, but the people who have gone to the show said that the shows are a lot of fun and they do a great job of kind of elevating women's wrestling. So that's be really cool to get a all women's promotion on Honor Club. It'll make it even more worth the value that it is. And maybe they're able to use that as a kind of structure to get AEW on some sort of streaming service. And the scary thing, right, this doesn't have to do with AEW, but it has to do with the market of wrestling on streaming services. I think it's very important to bring up. And then we can get into Dynamite, I promise. Okay. Nick Khan, all right, the Khan we don't like. All right. Yeah. Nick Khan was interviewed this week leading into WrestleMania weekend. And he said that they are in talks. They're throwing around some ideas of potentially making WWE pay-per-views or PLEs, whatever the fuck they're called, premium live events, the same way that ESPN does with UFC events, where you have to have ESPN Plus, which is like a $5 whatever subscription, $7 subscription, and then you are able to order the $70 UFC pay-per-view. And without ESPN Plus, you cannot order, at least in the States, you cannot order a UFC pay-per-view without having ESPN Plus. So that WWE wants to maybe try to set something up with Peacock where, like, you have to have Peacock to then purchase a full-price pay-per-view. So the only reason I bring this up is because, of course, maybe this could influence what Tony Khan and AEW might do in the future as a way to generate more money. I don't know. It's a scary time, but that shit happened. I ain't watching WWE pay-per-view no more because I ain't paying fucking $70 on top of the Peacock subscription. Yeah. That's wild.
Not going back to the old days.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And they have too many, right? At least AEW has like 4 or 5 a year. They have one a month. That's plus NXT. Yeah. This shit is out of control.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you guys want to talk about Access before or after Dynamite?
You can talk about it now.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't watch it yet, but you guys
can. So Kyle hasn't gotten to watch it because, of course, in Canada, after Dynamite aired, they aired something else, right? Like it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't get to. We don't get TBS up here, so I have to find somewhere someone put. There's a bunch of wrestling sites that put like they'll put the full pay per view on them after, and I'm sure they have the All Access show on them. I just have to go take a look.
Yeah, I'll try to look for you to try to find one. But me and Jackie did watch it. We watched it together, and so Jackie, what were your thoughts on the first episode of All Access from last night?
I thought it was really interesting, and I appreciate the fact that, you know, we had our concerns that it might be one of these shows that come across as very scripted drama, and you can tell that it's really played up for the camera, very fake situations that are just over-dramatized. But I felt it flowed where, I mean, you could tell that there are situations that are kind of or played up to the camera, maybe just a little bit, but it felt real enough and compelling enough that I would definitely want to tune in weekly to see it. I like the cast of people that they decided to follow along. Of course, my favorite cinnamon roll, Adam Cole. We get to follow along with the injury and his comeback from it, and we get to see some behind the scenes stuff there, the stuff with Britt Baker and the Young Bucks. I thought overall the first episode and the pacing was really good. I'm very curious to see, especially with the stuff with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, if Thunder Rosa is going to get her rebuttal coming off of that, because Britt Baker sure did have a lot to say about Thunder Rosa in the first episode. So seeing what Thunder might have to say in rebuttal to that is very interesting. But overall, I think the show is well done. I hope it stays on this type of course because it could be very, very interesting TV.
So first of all, I had the microphone on my computer working. So if I sound like shit in the first 30 minutes screaming,
really?
I'm sorry. Now it's on this, the actual mic.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
But my thoughts on it are, so it was a good episode, right? I tweeted earlier in the day yesterday that I was really afraid that it was going to be more Total Divas than WWE 24 in a sense of like, it's going to be clearly like drama they're creating for the show. It's going to be like, let's film this scene or refilm a scene that happened where it's like, this is clearly fake. Like, that's not, like, I always think back to the one where I try to watch Total Divas in the beginning where it was like Eva Marie dyed her hair a color she wasn't allowed to. And it became a storyline where in real life she would have gotten fired. Like, WWE doesn't play that shit. They're so strict. So I was afraid that AEW was going to do stuff like that to kind of get the casuals in, like, oh, this is drama. This is good. And they did kind of start like that, right? Going back to what Jackie mentioned. So within the first 5 minutes of the show, they're like, show starts. Hi, I'm Britt Baker. This is who I am. This is AEW, blah, 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 blah. Here's a little bit of my backstory. And then it's a scene. It's Britt, Jamie, Saraya, and Tony backstage. And besides Saraya, they are fucking trashing Thunder Rosa. And I was like, oh no, they're starting off with the drama. And like, obviously we know the real life drama between Britt and Thunder Rosa, right? Enough people have reported it now that like some of it's got to be true at least. But the show does kind of get away from that for a little bit. And we get to see Britt and Adam Cole. Adam Cole be the ultimate cinnamon roll. Get to see their relationship. We get to see the Young Bucks and stuff like that. We get to see a lot of interesting people backstage. Like, we saw like Swerve and Danhausen like having fun in the beginning of the episode. But the one thing that I do got to draw notice to, of course, I'm the Thai guy, right? And we love Thai and Sammy on the show. I think they came across looking like genuinely great people, the same way they came across on our interview and in Thai and both of them. Where like people that you understand their story, right? You see Sammy's passion. You see him even in the coming up thing, right? They show him like crying after the Danielson match, the second one. They did a great job of humanizing both of them. And the biggest shout out that I can give is Sammy Guevara takes responsibility for stunting Ty Mello's growth as a performer. And he, obviously, who gives a fuck what we think, right? But I think it was cool for him to say that publicly because I think it lets wrestling fans at least forgive her, yeah. Right? And I think because she was a huge babyface, and even Ty says it in the show, like Tony had a bunch of plans for her as a babyface. They start getting booed. Everything gets thrown out the window, right? You see Sammy's passion. You see Ty's passion. I'm very excited to see where they're going. The saddest thing about the show was watching Adam Cole's heart break in real time Adam Cole thought that they were like a week out of full gear. And him and Britt went to meet with Doc Samson, and he was like going in there interviewing him, right? And he's like, oh, I'm getting clear. Like, I feel good. I feel great. I'm ready to go. And Doc's like, you're not ready yet. And to think he just came back last night and we're in pretty much April is nuts. What he must have gone through these last couple of months. But all in all, I think it's a really cool watch for people who want like a little extra. Yeah, we got it. We're going to get the fake drama bullshit like we saw with Ruby and Ty even more. Highlighting what's to come. But I think if you kind of look past that stuff to bring in the casuals, there's some really cool AEW behind the scenes stuff that we get to see. Like, we got to see Sanjay Dutt kind of run the promo with Britt and Jamie, right? Like, we got to see him do that. I thought it was pretty cool.
I can't wait to watch it, man.
Because he popped us in the chat because he was like, is this show scripted or fake? And then he was like, oh, they made Atlantic City look nice. It's fake.
Yeah, and me over here thinking like, oh, AC Adam Cole.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, wait.
Because I wasn't watching, so I don't know what was going on.
Oh, man. It was just, and like, we saw Adam Cole with Kyle O'Reilly, and like, we see like people mixing it up backstage and kind of talking and stuff like that. Like, we saw Ty talking to her opponent before they walked out for their dark match. It ended up being a dark match because I watched it again. But I don't know. It was a good watch, and I'm excited to see where they can go with it. Nervous still where they might go with it, because Thunder Rosa does get to answer back. We see like what's coming, so I don't want this to be the Thunder Rosa versus Britt show. But
and like,
it's still cool.
Are we gonna get brawl out stuff?
No, I don't think so. Because in the Bucks thing, they were like, that was the lowest point of our career, and we don't want to talk about it. And then it moved on because the show starts. The show starts the week the Bucks come back.
But maybe we'll get one week where it gets brought up again.
Oh, yeah, because we did see the clip with Nick talking about it, right? So Maybe when Kenny comes back, because Kenny's not back yet.
So there's probably going to be like footage like later down the line where like conversation gets brought up that Punk might be coming back kind of thing. And maybe that's when it gets brought up again.
Maybe. But or like a season two, right?
Yeah. We'll see. Well, I mean, they're probably going to base the success of season one on if they continue with season two, right? They want to see like how the, I guess, the feedback is. And from what I've seen on social media, the feedback was pretty good. For that first episode, people are genuinely excited to see how the second episode plays out. So I guess time will tell with this show. And for their sake, I hope it works, because it'll be, like you said, it'll be a fantastic way to kind of gauge that casual audience in as well. Not like we know like the product is for the hardcores, but, you know, you're going to gauge in that casual audience to watch and maybe eventually become hardcore fans by, you know, that's how you start. You start as a casual fan.
The best way to look at it is this. Here's the best way to look at it, right? Just Kyle made me think about it. They asked Anna Jay why she wanted to become a pro wrestler. And she says she used to watch Total Divas and she was a fan of the Bella Twins. And then she became a wrestler. So if they're able to use this show the same way that Total Divas was used to get female fans in, maybe they can use this show to get non-wrestling fans in. Because AEW already has the diehards. They have their international fans. They have the Laps fan that ended up coming back because they're bringing a lot of these legends in, right? Whether I like it or not, they are bringing them in, right? And it's like you have the new cool hip wrestlers like a Darby that WWE would never take a chance on because they would change him too much. And you have like MJF, who's just like unfiltered, like fucking a madman. His stuff on the show was really funny. He like has like one line that's hilarious. But, like, I don't know. This could be really cool for the growth of AEW, which is all we want. We want them to keep growing. We want them to go to bigger venues. We want them to be at the fucking football stadium in the UK. So, like, this is only positive for AEW, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, 100%. But, Jackie, you have final thoughts on the show?
No, I think we summed it up pretty well.
Okay. So let's get into AEW.
Let's get into
AEW Dynamite from last night. And the match that I want to start off with, and I want to go to Kyle first.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Because Kyle is a huge Kenny Omega fan.
Oh.
We get Kenny Omega versus Jeff Cobb for the IWGP United States Championship. Kyle, what'd you think of this match? Because fuck, was it a banger.
Oh, man. This was... everything I thought it was going to be and more, especially from a Kenny Omega match. You have, obviously, we all see it. The cleaner's back. Old Kenny's back. And we got a lot of it throughout this match, especially at the end. The ending of this match, all the sequences that led into the ending of this match was my favorite part of the entire match. Just the Jeff Cobb hitting that V-trigger, sending Kenny, you know, maybe he didn't go fully into the shadow realm, but Kenny got a little bit into the shadow realm and then was able to wake himself up because Jeff Cobb sitting there about to hit the one-winged angel on Kenny, and the whole crowd like stood up and went, oh shit, were you going to see Cobb hit the one-winged angel? but I mean, it was fantastic. This was so well done, and Kenny pulling off a big win. But, you know, obviously, crazy enough, this is crazy. I'm going to throw this out there. You know, believe it or not, to any fans out there, there's a lot of story going on with Kenny right now. And the stuff leading up to his match this week was even crazier with the whole Don Callis thing and them talking about the Bucks and them talking to Hangman. And what went on after the Kenny match was the craziest thing that happened this week on the show. Kenny with the beatdown, or getting beat down by the Blackpool Combat Club, or, you know, BBC, whatever Hangman wants to call them. You know, it's up to him. which is hilarious because I pointed it out to Phil. If you guys go back and listen, when Hangman says BBC in that interview, you can hear someone in the crowd that's listening faintly in the back go, ha! just like an audible just ha! Because they caught it right away. Which is funny, but there's the beatdown, and then all of a sudden, and it catches the crowd. It caught the crowd so off guard that they didn't know how to react. They're like, "Was this done by mistake?" Because all you hear is Danielson's theme, and there's no Titantron or anything on. People are just like, "What the hell is going on? Is this a mistake?" And all of a sudden, Bryan Danielson comes out of the curtain, people started popping. They're like, oh shit, he's actually here. Mm-hmm. Like, people were confused because he's been gone for weeks since that promo he cut saying he's going home. There's been weird vignettes playing on New Japan TV that looks like a dragon at the end of it, and people thinking he's gonna go do like a New Japan circuit, which still could be the case. You never know. But yeah, he comes out and the crowd's going nuts, and you know, they're like, fuck it, we're gonna yes anyways, and they're all doing the yes thing.
Yep.
And he gets in the ring and he's telling all the Blackpool Combat Club members to, you know, no and stop it. And people are like, oh shit, so Danielson's gonna help Kenny Omega. This is a nice twist to the story. But then at the same time, you know, everyone's holding on to that. Oh, where is he going to turn? Is he going to turn? When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? People are waiting. They're waiting. As soon as Kenny turns his back and tries to hit Wheeler Yuta, freaking Bryan Danielson squares up and then hits the Busaki knee kick. And oh my God, that was like I popped huge. That was the coolest moment that they did. Well, I had to be silent because I was ahead of Jackie and Phil, so I had to mute my mic, but I was popping when he hit it. And I remember, like,
I was like, oh, this is weird. What's Danielson going to do? And Kyle was like, oh, just wait for it.
I'm like, let me know. I'm like,
let me know when you get to it.
But it was so cool. That was so well done. And now the Blackpool Combat Club are just these absolute asshole heel faction that it reminds you almost like a little bit of like the heel Shield, right? Like back when they were just like running around just being destructive, right? That's technically what they're doing. They're running around being destructive, beating the shit out of the Elite, beating the shit out of people backstage. They accidentally, Moxley hit Don Callis, and then Don Callis, not really knowing his surroundings, I guess on his way down, he hit his head literally on the TV pole. And he cut himself open legitly on his head. Which I read that report. I'm like, oh, man, Don, poor guy. But it's cool because now they can add that into the story.
Put his body on the line for the story, man.
Right?
Commits to the bit.
It's great. But it was, again, match was fantastic. And the story they're doing right now with the Elite is interesting. It's so interesting now, even more interesting now with the news this week that Matt potentially tore his pec.
Could be out for a while. Yeah,
it could be out for a while. Bicep, and he could be out for a while. So, like, what do you do? Like, what?
What's the injury? What's the recovery time on a torn bicep?
I thought it was torn.
I don't think it was a torn
bicep. Pec.
Torn pec. He's out for a year because Cody was out.
That's true.
A year. So, you know, unless he's John Cena and comes back in 4 months, but
I
still,
thought I read. I thought I read that he was declining the option for surgery, so that would reduce the time for recovery.
So it's 3 to 4 months on Google. So, to fully heal, so if he's declining, he might be back in a month or two, which kind of puts it at double or nothing. So,
I think the whole cool thing about it is like, you know, with everything that happened this week, and we didn't get to really talk about it because I was too busy yelling in the first segment. But Moxley did an interview with Renee on her podcast, and he talked about all the crazy punk stuff that's going on. The you know, we don't get into that, but on that interview, Moxley talks about how much fun he's having working this angle with the Elite, getting to work with Hangman. He talks about how the BCC are coming at this from a like respect angle. Like, they respect the Elite. They just, you know, they happen to be friends with Hangman. So like right now they're going to war with Hangman and anybody that's associated with him. So like they're collateral damage. He also makes a comment that I thought was very interesting on that podcast, which is, who's to say that Blackpool Combat Club jumped the Bucks? Maybe it wasn't us.
We don't
know. Maybe it wasn't us. And I don't know. I know when it happened, a lot of people were like, maybe it's CM Punk. Maybe it's FTR and CM Punk. Like, we don't know where they could go. And now with the news of Matt being injured, maybe we won't know for months. Maybe it's something that they have to rewrite altogether. But I do think it's pretty cool that we get this after the match, because the main storyline in AEW right now is the BCC versus the Elite slowly forming back together with Hangman, which is going to be absolutely beautiful when it happens. But the Kenny and Jeff Cobb match was just otherworldly, right? I think love the fact that they had a promo package that aired before it. I love that in that promo package, Excalibur talked about how Jeff Cobb was on the show before. Because if you guys remember, he was like the mercenary that Chris Jericho brought out to attack. I think it was Moxley, right? Or somebody when Jericho was feuding with them in the beginning. So I don't know. I think they did a really great job of kind of showing people the story, because the story is a New Japan story, but it's also a New Japan title. So you would understand that. But I don't know. I thought the match was great. But Jackie, what'd you think?
I thought the match was incredible. As it's a Kenny Omega singles match on AEW Dynamite, of course, it's going to be freaking amazing. But Jeff Cobb also is, he's a freaking incredible competitor. I think every singles match I've ever seen with him, and tag matches too, when he's with Great O'Conn, have been phenomenal. The man is like a freaking brick house. Anytime somebody runs into him, it's like running into a freaking brick wall. The V-trigger that he hit on Kenny... Oh my God. Looked like he was about to freaking take his head off. He hit a lariat on Kenny, which looked like he decapitated him. He got there was a point. Oh, the fact that Kenny Omega came out to Devil Sky.
Oh yeah.
Me. I'm like, it's such a thing of beauty that it's a New Japan title that they're fighting for, and they gave him his New Japan theme. Freaking brilliant. I love the little attention to detail like this, because yes. Storytelling, people, we keep coming back to that. It's like the AEW does pay attention to those fine details for those fans that do pay attention. So, but Cobb hitting the standing moonsault for a guy his size to be able to move like that, I just think that those little things are brilliant. But Danielson going full heel at the end, give me Danielson versus Omega forever. We got to be in the house live for that when it happened at Grand Slam. Incredible 30-minute draw. Give me more of that. I will not complain. So everything about this feud and the way that it's playing out is brilliant. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, and you know, we got Kenny versus Buddy, or I got it, right? I'm still waiting on Kenny versus Mercedes Moné, right? Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens. But Kenny versus Danielson, like Jackie said, the first time was unbelievable. So the second time is going to be even better. And the inevitable hug between Kenny and Hangman is just going to make us all cry. Why? Because AEW tells stories. You just got to fucking pay attention. Another thing that happened last night that is a huge story that is also happening in AEW right now. We got Ruby Soho versus Willow Nightingale. We see the Outcasts come out together. They have a brand new t-shirt. Doesn't look like the best t-shirt, but I still want it. All right, when we get this money situation up, I want that t-shirt. I think that t-shirt
at least they have something, right?
That's what I'm saying. At least they're doing something. I thought it was a fun match. I thought Ruby and Willow worked really well together. I love the stuff with Saraya and Tony on the outside. They're so good at being heels. It's unreal. One thing I will say before Kyle gets to say it, I'm jumping in. why did Riho not come out with the pipe?
Yo. What
come
the
on,
fuck,
man? That's the best part of this whole thing.
Her last week running with a
25 pounds with a 20-pound weight on her, and she comes with that pipe, and everyone runs.
But like
for the
eyes closed, just swinging away last week. That was like the best part. That was like the best thing I've seen in ever. All my years of watching wrestling. That was just
amazing. It was just so great. But Jackie, what did you think of this match between Ruby and Willow?
I liked it a lot, actually, and I liked the fact that they gave it some time. Willow Nightingale, man, from the time that she stepped into AEW, I felt like she really has that it factor and that star quality about her. And she's very memorable every time that she steps in the ring. And I love the fact that she has that like joyful aura about her every time she steps out there, but she really did play up the whole like disappointment that she's stepping in the ring with somebody that she had all this like love and faith in, a former partner. And now she's looking across from the ring. She's still trying to like plead to her to like come back to the light side, if you will. But we know that Ruby is too far gone, and she's so Willow bringing out all that aggressive anger that her friend has betrayed her. She's very good at playing up the facial expressions, playing up the anger, and I love the evolution that we're seeing from Willow from the first day that she came into AEW and getting signed till now. And I really think that she is one of the standout breakout people in this company. So
that theme song too.
Bob. Oh, hell yeah.
It just they always show the crowd dancing. It just makes you want to dance like every single time. It
makes you want to dance. And if you're not singing along to Willow's song like Taz, you're doing it wrong.
Taz sings, like, I love Taz. Pause me when Taz sings a lot of theme songs. He sings a lot of theme songs. He sings like he sings another theme song all the time too, and I forget.
He sings Ruby's theme.
Yeah, Ruby. Song, the Ruby, theme, you know, like, Ruby, so ho.
But no, Willow is that girl. I'm very team Willow in this situation. But no, the Outcast, everything about it. I think they're doing this and they're playing it well, even though we kind of ask ourselves every week, like, are the Outcasts getting another person involved? Are they evening the score? Like, they is it going to be a 5-on-5, or are we getting just the three main people? I feel like they have to. They kind of have to like get.
Well, I think the biggest question is when they get those two other people, are they going to also be a part of the Outcast? Are they going to be like, hey, you're on our team, but the three of us are the Outcast? You know what I mean? Because then it can kind of open up for more possibilities, right? Because we've talked about it before. Like, why don't they add Ty or why don't they add Anna? But the issue is Ty and Anna's an original. Ty is technically an Outcast, even though she's been here for so long. And she was only really in NXT for a little bit, so she can kind of be an original too.
She kind of feels homegrown.
Yeah, exactly. She feels homegrown. But like, that's an interesting way. Like, hey, Ty and Anna are going to help us because we're heels and they're heels and they're going at them. Mm-hmm. It could be they can kind of like explore their options more that way. Or like, you could bring in an Athena and she doesn't have to fully join the Outcast, but she can just be there because she's also an Outcast outsider too. So I don't know, it's just very exciting. But Kyle, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, like they'd have to even up the playing field now, right? You're out. The heels are outnumbered. Clearly, they're going to be bringing in people. They're not going to stay outnumbered. They're not going to take enough of this shit. Like I mentioned last week, okay, we need to. This better be the last week where you know they have a match and they beat down someone, and then Riho's rah! Now with no pipe this week, but Riho's coming out for the save. It's like, yeah, we get it. We got to stop doing this now. Now is the time. I know you're probably trying to string things along, but maybe do the opposite this time. Maybe have it where you do that and you don't have the heels run away. They're just getting outnumbered, or there's a situation where like another heel, like you have to find a way to now introduce, because now it's weird. You don't normally see this. It's usually like you get the heel team formed first and then the babyface team forms and you add the members as the heels get the advantage, more the babyfaces join the fray. So now it's you have to kind of spin it in a different way this time. This time the heels are outnumbered and you have to find a clever way and a creative way to introduce newer heels to team up with the Outcasts. I don't necessarily think no one's going to join the Outcasts, but just kind of help them along to face the baby faces. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it now. It's if it's going to be a backstage thing or an in-ring thing, or maybe the match gets set up and, you know, the heels say like, oh, we'll be bringing people in, don't you worry. And then we don't get to know until the match itself, because we know this is ultimately leading to blood and guts, right? So...
yeah,
you know, I'm interested. Well,
to see what they do next week with Jamie and Riho.
Exactly. So now, please, you can't do what you did this week. You can't, you know, Jamie wins, retains, and then they beat down Riho, and then it's Sky Blue and Willow running down the ramp this time, and then the baby and the heels run away. If you're gonna do that, have the heels run away, but then have the babyfaces get blindsided from behind on the other side of the ring
by the two other people,
by two other people or one other person or something like that. You know what I mean? Get a new member in there.
Here's what's gonna happen. Ready? It's gonna happen in Long Island because Phil can't have everything he wants. There's got to be a balance, right? We get a great show. We hope and pray FTR wins those belts. But how is Tony Khan gonna balance this to piss me off? Right? Here's what he's gonna do. Everything Kyle said is true. Jamie and Riho are going to wrestle. They're going to shake hands and be like, we respect each other. The Outcasts are going to jump them, beat the shit out of them. Baby faces come down. Outcasts run away. Two people attack the ring. Athena, and Nia Jax. I'm putting my fucking head through a wall.
Stop it. It's not going to be Nia Jax. Why would you say that? No.
Why would you even?
Nia Jax debuts. She's all elite. I put my head through a fucking wall.
No, it's going to be the beautiful siblings. It's going to be both of them.
Oh, my God. It's going to be both of them. Yeah. If it's the Garcia twins and it happens.
The beautiful siblings.
And the crowd goes quiet and you hear one person go, oh, yeah.
It's going to be Phil. No, you feel you got it. It's quiet. You got to yell, the beautiful siblings. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. I'm going to yell, Nikki, pronounce your married last name.
Yeah.
Here, look at me. Chevech. Artem's last name sounds like he plays fucking hockey. That was the pop, Jackie, and she didn't pop. Well, I'm going to go jump off the bridge now. Yep. Thanks, right, Jackie.
We'll see. No, bye, Jackie.
Fine. No, that's fine. Thank you.
Yep. Well, you're welcome.
WrestleMania weekend, you can't even pop up my jokes. Yep. You hate to see it, you know? You hate to see it. You really hate to see it. So to start the show, we get Jungle Boy having a match that, honestly, I barely even remember who he faced, let alone what happened.
Matt Hardy.
That's why. He wins. Cool. Everybody has a good time. The interesting thing, I think, however, is what happened after MJF comes out, and they get into a promo segment that, honestly, I think went a little bit too long, given the fact that Jungle Boy just had a fucking match out there. It was like a 20-something minute segment between the match and the promo. Why not just have the promo?
I mean, they're giving alluded time to at least that's the other story they're building the elite, obviously, in BCC, and then the four pillars, right? They're building the future of this company. At least it's that, and it's not Jeff Jarrett getting 20 minutes out there to talk after this match.
Listen, Kyle, man, you know how to make me happy. Yeah. But so the cool thing, MJF cut him and Jungle Boy go back and forth with the promo. The one thing that stood out to me, of course, is MJF bringing up Anna Jay. I was talking to Kyle and Jackie recently, like, are they even still together? Because they don't post anything. Are they just keeping it private or whatever? So it was cool to see MJF kind of bring this up. Oof. Given the fact that, like, Anna's a heel in Jericho's faction and Jungle Boy is like the ultimate babyface. So that even MJF to bring it up, to that's the thing that's going to get under Jungle Boy's skin to attack them. But I don't know. I thought it was a really cool promo segment, even though, like I said, I felt like it went too long. Mm-hmm. But what'd you think of everything, Kyle?
I liked it. I know what you're saying, that it did feel a little long, and it did. It was getting to a point where, like, okay, are we going to wrap this up anytime soon? But at the same time, I had the same thoughts as I just said. I'm like, I'm happy that at least they're giving the alluded promo time to stories that deserve it, right? We're not giving alluded time to stories that don't make sense, rush stories, QTV, Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt, you know what I mean? Like, we're not giving that alluded time to stuff people don't want to see. We're getting, like, people want to see this four pillars match, so we're building this story. It's just adding more things to their eventual fatal four-way match at Double or Nothing. It's all going to be worth it by the time we get there, and this is just part of it, right? We're going to go through these spurts where there's probably going to be very long promos in order to build the story even more, and I was all for it. And maybe they could have cut it down a little bit, sure, but at the same time, I liked it. I loved the whole Anna Jade name drop and MJF being the dick that he is, just digging in deep into Jungle Boy and basically, like, you'll always be Jungle Boy, even though, you know, you're sitting here trying to change your name to Jack Perry. You're always going to be that Jungle Boy, that person that relied on other people to kind of get over, which, you know, MJF kind of was a hypocrite in a sense a little bit there, right? He kind of rode the coattails of Cody in the beginning. He rode the coattails of the JAS too with Jericho. So,
The Pinnacle,
right? So I was shocked that Jungle Boy didn't get the chance to bring that up, but I'm sure someone will. But I liked it. I'm happy and I'm loving where this is going. And next week is going to be interesting to see who out of the four, if not all three, get to be in the in-ring segment for NJF Day, because that's
oh my god,
and in his hometown too, which is going to be
yeah.
This is where they're going to have to tread a little bit, because doesn't matter who it is, they're going to get booed because that crowd is going to be so MJF heavy favored. Yeah, it's going to be so pro MJF that, which, you know, sadly enough, I kind of think it's probably going to be Sammy. So.
That'll probably do get Sammy out there just to kind of balance it out. But I do think the cool thing, Jackie, and I want to get your opinion on this. So MJF brings up the fact that when him and Jungle Boy wrestled in 2020 on Double or Nothing, that he assumed like, or he figured out that he respected Jungle Boy and he thought that this was going to be his wrestling soulmate for the rest of his career, right? Everybody has one. Some people are lucky enough to have more. But he figured, if anybody remembers, that match was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it was one of those things where it's like, oh, my God, is this going to be like, and I've said this from the beginning, I think Jungle Boy is AEW's version of Shawn Michaels. If he continues to develop at the trajectory that he is, I think his in-ring work is unbelievable. And as a babyface, he's just so lovable and so good. So, you know, definitely think about MJF bringing that stuff up.
I was just going to add quickly. I wonder how he'd be as a heel. Because, like, eventually Shawn Michaels transcended himself and he turned heel.
He cuts his hair.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yep. Look, you see Jackie's face?
Wild. Yeah.
Heel work. Right there, 101. Right? Jackie just got so disgusted at the idea of Jungle Boy cutting that beautiful hair.
Yeah. I mean, hair grows back. It's okay.
You're going to throw all that away?
It grows back. It's not like me where it just didn't grow back. I shave one day. I'm like, it'll grow back. And then my hair's like, hi. He's psych.
You said it.
Yeah.
But what did you think, Jackie, about the whole promo and MJF bringing that aspect of it up?
Oh, I thought that the whole promo segment was very interesting because you're seeing two of the younger guys and the whole backbone of what AEW was supposed to be built off of was the youth of wrestling and building from the ground up. And some of the stuff that MJF was saying, and he's like, you know, after that match, I gave you some advice and I told you like nice guys finish last and to drop your friends. And had you had listened to me, you might have been where I'm at now, because 3 years later, I'm the top guy and you're just Jungle Boy. And he's like basically shit on his whole life. And it was the typical MJF shtick. And, you know, Jungle Boy hit him back though. And he was like, I'm going to continue to do it my way. And at least I won't wake up every morning alone and hating the person that I see in the mirror. And I'm like, damn, they're still taking shots at MJF and his girl.
Which is the nicest way anybody can say, at least I don't wake up feeling like a fucking bitch. But it was Jungle Boy, so he said it in such a nice way.
He also said it in a way like, you know, like, dude, we haven't forgotten. Your girl left you, and I still got Anna Jay. So regardless of what you want to say and you want to trash talk me about, like, you know, you want to throw my girl's name in there, at least I got a girl. So
At least I'm getting some.
He should have pulled a Will Smith and be like, keep my girl's name out of your mouth.
Pay the fine.
Yeah.
Bro, the pop that the MJF would get, not MJF, the pop that Jungle Boy would get if he curses.
Right.
What do you say? I'm going to beat your ass or some shit. The crowd was like,
Oh, you said ass.
Oh, no. But MJF hit him back and he was like, oh, congratulations. It only took you like 3 or 4 years to learn how to talk. And I was just like, because that was a critique that we had of him like early on, was that he had all the goods in the ring, but he was not a good promo whatsoever. But I think that him getting those reps in and really getting a chance to get on the mic and develop a character has been working out for him, because he has been showing significant improvement out there. And hopefully this feud and getting the four pillars out there is going to continue to like grow all of them and show that this new crop of talent has what it takes to put on that main event level pay-per-view status on their own without needing that like without needing the prior talent to help them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. You know, speaking of kind of younger talent that's still growing, even though, you know, Adam Cole is a huge star, we get the return of Adam Cole versus nice young star in Daniel Garcia in the main event of the show, which was interesting. At first, you're like, that makes no sense, right? Shouldn't it be like the Kenny versus Jeff Cobb? But then you're like, or me, I'm like, duh, Adam Cole's going to win and they're going to roll right into All Access. So it makes the most sense. The funny thing that I do want to bring up before we talk about how good this match was, because the match was really good. The fucking absurdity of having confetti fall.
Yeah, yeah, what was like, that about? Listen, like,
I've watched All Access twice now, as I said. All right, part of me is like, okay, I get it. Like, it was a huge moment. This guy thought he was going to come back a week before Full Gear in November. Now we're in April, and he's finally coming back. Britt Baker comes out. They kiss. It leads into All Access. I get it. Just still, in theory, he won a regular singles match and fucking confetti fell from the sky like he won the world title. Like, what?
Is this going to be his thing every match? He's just going to have confetti?
Leave my man alone, bro.
It was so funny.
You know what? They missed a big opportunity. They should have waited till the theme song hit the right time. And when he did the boom thing, the pyro, the confetti should have went.
Oh, Kyle. I made a TikTok of this, but if you go back and watch when him and Britt kiss, they kiss at boom.
No, they don't.
Yes, really? They do. They go something, something, and then they go boom, and then boom. They kiss. And then, wait, hold on. It goes boom, and they kiss at the same time, and then the confetti falls. So it's like, boom, kiss, confetti. I'm like, this is so corny. I love it.
Oh, all my of this. God. Yeah, the confetti is overkill. Like, that was just like, okay, all right. Fine, sure. Maybe. I don't know.
Listen, I saw somebody online like, what if Cole would have lost?
For me.
Yeah, what if Cole would have lost?
What if Cole lost, bro?
I mean, it would have fit Garcia, right? He's over the top. He's in the JAS.
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
I mean, the match was good. I mean, if one of you guys want to bring it up, I'm kind of too scared to talk it into fucking reality of the Jericho stuff. But Jackie, what'd you think of this match as the main event and, you know, your cinnamon roll being back?
I won't go too into detail. I'll just say that I'm happy as hell. I'm really happy to see him back. They did enough of the playing up he was clutching his neck and his head a lot in the match, just enough to make you think like, oh, he's playing up the injury, and like enough deniability, like, oh shit, like he could potentially be injured again and stuff like that. It's classic wrestling 101 after somebody comes back from an injury like that. But I know we did the womp womp when it was Daniel Garcia because of his personality and stuff like that. But Daniel Garcia is a tremendous in-ring competitor. So it makes sense for Adam Cole to have a comeback match,
Jackie,
like that against
him.
He is
not an in-ring competitor. He is a pro wrestler.
He's a sports entertainer. No, he's a sports
entertainer.
Shout out to Daddy Magic. Daddy Magic is a national freaking treasure. I just want to show him some love. All right. But no, and that crowd with the chants that, oh, Adam Cole, babe.
Amazing.
Freaking amazing. Unbelievable. But no, the match was great. I'm so happy to see Adam Cole back. I freaking like the confetti. I love all the extra shit. Y'all can hate on it all you want, but I was just so damn happy to have Adam.
You know what I would have done? Actually, now that we're thinking about it, if we're going extra, you guys remember the clip of when Bret Hart won the world title and everybody came out and held him up on his shoulders and they were like, Bret Hart, they should have did that. The whole locker room should have came out and been like, Adam Cole, and pointing at him and shit like...
You're damn right.
They should have had Cody's pyros go off.
Oh my God. Yo, did you hear the nonsense that guy said about pyro saying like,
that it wasn't his
even
idea.
In AEW, it wasn't my idea. Like, get out of here. Right. You're right, telling Cody. Me it wasn't your idea. Stop it.
Get out of here, bro. He had the most pyro in the fucking Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah, that wasn't you. Yeah. I didn't notice.
Adam makes a good point. Lift him and Britt up. And they could kiss his ear. They could do that.
P.S. I want y'all to know that I got blamed for Jericho coming out at the end of the night. Because I made the mistake of saying that Daniel Garcia wrestling in this match was a very bad red flag for me. That Jericho might pop up and that could be a potential start to a feud. Because it had JAS written all over it. And then as soon as Jericho popped up, Phil was like, Jackie, this is 100%
your fault.
Your fault. So, I'm sorry.
What have you become? Judas in my mind. Look at you. How dare you?
Wow.
How pop. Dare you? Okay.
Big pop.
Yeah. Pop the boy.
My bad, y'all.
Yeah. It's all Jackie's fault. But Kyle, what'd you think of this main event segment? I know you're a huge Adam Cole, Undisputed Era, Paragon guy.
Oh, give me some Paragon, man. Bring that shit back. Mm. But yeah, it was good. It was a great match. I said it last week. I knew that Cole and Garcia were going to have a fantastic in-ring wrestling match, and sure enough, they did. And it's good. Adam Cole looks good. They were obviously, anyone gone for a significant amount of time is going to show a little bit of rust. There was a little bit of rust, but that's going to be shaken off quickly because Adam Cole is who he is. And
especially in a company that doesn't have house shows.
Yeah. And you know what? I know we're all fretting because of the look backs that Jericho did and, but at the same time, like, Cole, I don't think has ever faced Chris Jericho, has he?
No.
So in a way, it's almost like I think these two could probably make a decent feud. I know we're sick and tired of the JS, but like I think Cole is gonna bring out that Jericho that we saw too when he was facing was it Bryan Danielson? It brought out the Lionheart Jericho a few times.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get like Cole to bring out that Jericho again out. And I think
my thing is, it's not even Jericho match-wise because the matches are going to be excellent. It's the fact that it's like, is this feud, if we think Adam Cole's going to win the belt at Full Gear, is this feud going to last the fucking Full Gear? Because Jericho's feuds last like 11 months.
Yeah.
It's like you're in a Jericho feud longer than you have to sign your actual contract to the company. Like, it's unreal at this point.
It's tough because like you think that like maybe Adam Cole would try to or would sort of now tie into the Elite stuff maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Considering
what's going on. But I mean, they have the four of D4 there, so you don't need a fifth unless they plan on adding a fifth, which they're not going to. So, I don't know. If he does feud with Jericho, you'd like to think that they don't feud past Double or Nothing. Cole goes into goes into Forbidden Door and has like another crazy match with somebody. Maybe has like a one-on-one match with Okada, which would be really sick. I don't know.
When it's fucking Adam Cole versus Chris Jericho with red shoes from New Japan in a shark cage, right?
Don't say you didn't warn me. Okay.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
But I'm just happy he's back because like he's honestly like he's a top tier talent in that company. So it's good to see him back and that he's it seems to be okay.
Yeah, and healthy and
able
to have that type of match that he had with Garcia and able to kind of be back in a feud, right? AEW, has struggled at times last year. They seem to be hitting on all cylinders right now, even though Twitter doesn't think so. I think they've done an exceptional job since Brawl Out of kind of resetting what the company should look like, and you're bringing in someone like Adam Cole, who was a heel when he left. You remember, he attacked the Bucks.
That's right.
They were going to go into that whole story, and then Forbidden Door happens or whatever. People get hurt, whatever. But it's cool to see him back as this major babyface. A lot of people, including myself, thinks that eventually down the road, he'll be the one to beat MJF since I don't know what the fuck they're doing with Wardlow now, where he has like just like negative momentum at this point, which sucks. Breaks my heart. But,
well, we might find out on the podcast tonight. So
oh, yeah, it's true. Yes. But silver linings to all of this, right?
Yeah.
Right? Silver linings to all of this, people. Round of applause. This means the JAS will not be feuding with the House of Black, everybody. This is beautiful.
Hey.
This is fucking beautiful.
As far as we know.
All right? This is beautiful. I will watch Jericho and Adam Cole have a match all the time because guess what? I don't have to watch fucking Jake Hager be in a tag match against the House of Black. All right? Jackie, I just want you to know I had salad, a chicken salad for dinner tonight, and nice. I had croutons in it, and I was laughing hysterically. Whatever crunch of my salad, I was laughing, thinking about you and your croutons.
But Adam has a point in the chat. He said, so who House of Black feuding with them?
You know what? I don't know.
Excellent point. That's an excellent point because I asked, I texted
I can't answer last that question.
And I was like, where is House of Black? That's a good question.
They're on Rampage tomorrow night. So there you go. Is it tomorrow night?
I guess.
Are they doing Rampage and Ring of Honor at the same time?
Ring of Honor's tonight.
Oh, Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor is, it's usually at 7 But they pushed it back to 9 to
9. I'm talking about Supercard of Honor.
Oh, Supercard of Honor. I think it airs after Supercard. Supercard's 8 to 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's not like till midnight like other pay-per-views. I think you're right. I think, hopefully. Well, I don't know. There's like a lot of matches, so who knows?
I mean, it could be. Yeah. Imagine they kill their own ratings. So like, what the fuck?
Well, last year it was like that. Supercard and Rampage were running at the same time.
Well, lucky for them, no one watches Rampage. So what are they really losing? Let's be honest here. All right. Yeah. There's more people at that Impact show on Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. There's no one. There's no smaller numbers than Impact audiences, which sucks because Impact is really good. I don't know. It's what else happened on Dynamite this past week? Some stuff with the Acclaimed and JAS.
The Butcher and
which cool, I guess. Yeah. I mean, Butcher showed. Butcher is a fantastic wrestler. He's really developed and gotten his body into tremendous shape. I just want to see the Butcher and the Blade as a tag team. I think they're a fucking great tag team. We remember them facing off on FTR when they very first got here, and they had that one-off match. And we've seen them have some great matches here and there. But it's like, yo, it is. We need. They don't have to win the feud. How about this? We're talking about trios. Let's get the real spooky people versus the Hot Topic spooky people with Kip Sabian and Butcher and the Blade. There we go.
But like,
and then you have Penelope and Julia Hart, because I hate to say this because I'm a huge fan of hers, but Bunny is always injured. So like, there you go. There's your first feud. And it gets Kip Sabian and the Butcher and Blade on television.
But it's not even the problem here. The problem here is we're still running into the international title not being defended against international people. The Americans versus America.
Bro, the second they announced that shit, it popped because I thought of you saying that.
Yo, you might as well call it the Civil War belt, because goddamn, it's always U.S. versus U.S., man.
Jesus, Kyle. Yeah. Is that all you know about our country?
Well, it looks like it's going to happen again. So, freaking Trump gets impeached, y'all going to have another civil war.
There you go. Yeah. That's fucking. Hey, maybe that's why they did it. The Civil War title, we tie into modern culture. Yeah.
It's got political.
You can't say AW is not modern.
Yeah.
They got the pulse.
So, Adam, we 100% agree with you. Fight that for the international title on international waters. Or if you can't do that, you keep bringing in these foreign wrestlers, right? You brought in Commander. You brought in Vikingo. Let them face Orange Cassidy. Fuck. They're international talent. Just bring in international talent to face him.
For the international title.
That's what I mean.
It's called – it's not – you might as well rename it the U.S. title at this point, because that shit is still being defended.
If you're not going to do that, you should have never made this title to begin with, even though it's one of the prettiest titles in wrestling. But you shouldn't have made this title to begin with and just kept the TNT title being like this. Yeah. So we wouldn't have to sit through poor Will Hobbs having to deal with bullshit-ass QTV. And what, is QT Marshall going to bury me on Twitter too?
Yeah.
It sucks. It is so fucking boring. The first week I was like, all right, it's not that bad, but it's just annoying now. And Will Hobbs deserves better, because Will Hobbs is a fucking great wrestler. He'll be on Dax's podcast tonight, which is going to be hilarious because him and Warlow are still in that feud. I'm interested to see how they kind of tiptoe the lines of kayfabe when you add alcohol to the mix.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of cool.
It's just Rampage too. Like they built we're at the end of the show now, but like they built. So Rampage going up against Supercard of Honor, it would be interesting because they built Rampage up really great this week. They have Takeshita
versus Takeshita.
Yeah. Kings of the Black Throne against Best Friends, Shafir versus Valkyrie, and Andretti versus Juice Robertson. So it's like,
They're going
that's a hard lineup to go up against. Like, and that's,
I'm not watching it till Saturday morning, but they're going,
which is hilarious. It's like, oh shit. Tony Khan's booking both. He's like, shit, how do I compete against my own product that I'm booking?
How do I compete against me? I'm such a good booker. Oh wait, if he wins Booker of the Year next year, do they have to differentiate between companies?
Yeah.
Like first place, Tony Khan, AEW. Yeah. Second place, Tony Khan, Ring of Honor.
I think so.
Because, yo, if you're not watching Ring of Honor and Honor Club, it is fucking awesome, right? It is such a good show. It is the closest thing we'll ever get to NXT Black and Gold, and it's a lot of fun. And two women's matches.
Wow.
Right, two women's matches. Shaza McKenzie versus Miyu.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Khan said more women's matches are coming, but he didn't say what show.
Good point. What? I'll give you two women's matches on the show on Dark.
Yeah, on Ring of Honor.
Hey, Tony. Tony Khan, Clark Malarkey here.
Cuck Pro Wrestling.
Cuck Pro Wrestling. CPW. I just want to know. So we asked you to highlight the women more, and you said you were. Why is it that you're only highlighting the women on All Access and not on the actual fucking show? All right, I don't understand. Britt Baker is the main character on All Access more than anybody. But fuck it.
This is true.
Funny shit.
It was a great episode of Dynamite. There was some other stuff in it, but you know,
Literally, there's only one other thing we didn't talk about, and that was just the Acclaim. Or Matt Menard and Luke were trying to, they're trying to get the Acclaim to join the JAS.
It's really,
which is just not going to happen, but you know,
circling the drain to see what they have with, like, what they're going to do with the Acclaim next, now that they're hopefully moving on to FTR with the tag titles. I hope if FTR does win next week, they revive. The tag division.
Wow.
And they kind of reset it and kind of get everything back in order. And then hopefully, fingers crossed, if Santana is close to coming back, or like maybe a few months away, by the time they come back, they can reignite the PNP and FTR feud that we were supposed to get when they were in the Pinnacle. If you listen to Dax's podcast, you know. If you don't know, go listen to that podcast because it's heartbreaking. But that would be really cool. And can we get best friends doing something? Because Trent and Chuck are so good. They need to be doing something other than losing.
Yeah.
Even though they need to lose the House of Black, because everyone needs to lose the House of Black, so I'm happy. That's my thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any closing words, Kyle?
Fuck the Fed.
Wow, Kyle.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone that watches. I'm sorry.
Imagine.
You want Jackie?
Hi, I'm Sam Roberts here outside of WrestleMania. Sir, what do you have to say about this year?
Whoa, Roman Reigns.
No, not even. They're going to hand the microphone to Kyle. He's going to be like, honestly, I'm just walking to WrestleCon and fuck the Fed.
Yeah. I'm going to be like the fucker right in the guy and just fuck the Fed.
Fuck the Fed. But sir, you're here for WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. WrestleCon, bro. Yeah. Fucking lit. Yeah. I get to meet Shibata or whoever the fuck is Japanese wrestler.
Sir, I have an important meeting. Go away.
Yeah, get away from me. Jackie, any final words?
Oh, I was just about to sip my water, my bad. Final words, Dynamite was great. Supercard's going to be great. We're going to all watch it together. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm prepared to have a heart attack next week in Long Island. So if Phil has to carry my dead body out of the arena, just be prepared for that.
I hope Jackie, can vlog you on know it. What's the best part about next week? That I don't know if you realize, Rampage is live next week. So no Rampage after, baby. Yeah. We're just going to get to enjoy.
We get to go home.
We get to go home at like 10:30 after they carry the FTR over to the Fed. Oh, wait. Maybe they're losing in Long Island, close to Connecticut.
Hey, oh, that makes sense.
Just saying, they got to sign their contract. All right. Maybe they're going to team them up with White Jay. Or John Black. All right. I don't know. Randy Orton's coming back soon. There's rumors he's going to be at WrestleMania.
I don't want to have to go change in my background. All right.
Hey, you never know. FTRKO.
Bro, like, I'm a huge FTR fan. The last thing, a nightmare would be them going back. But, like, part of me would love. Jackie, did you see FTR's match this week? Like, bro, I had to sit through fucking Omos versus fucking Tozawa in a ninja costume doing a pie-eating contest. Like, what the fuck am I watching? To FTR versus whoever in a five-minute match.
Please don't curse at me like that, bro.
Anyways, let's get out of here. If you guys see us in Long Island, don't say hi to me. Say hi to Jackie, but don't say hi to me. Let me walk to my seat and enjoy my $47 chicken fingers and fries. Okay?
No, his 40-year-old pretzel.
Yeah. Oof, yeah. Some of them are good, but most of them are not. But thank you guys for listening to another episode of Elite POV. And remember, fuck you, Brian Alvarez.
there's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, that's where I'll always be. Every stop I make, I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well.